looking to see what kind of stuff adults are grabbing, and instead of grabbing the little mini fun sizes, every once in a while somebody gets a whole stack of full-size candy bars, and the children are thinking to themselves, Mom, let's tail this person home to figure out where they live so I can go there, because our neighbors give out toothbrushes, and we don't want that. We want the full-size candy. Well, when I was there just this week, the Halloween stuff was down, and instead there was Santa Claus, and there was Rudolph, and there were stockings, and there was tinsel. Halloween, you know, candy, trick-or-treat, gimme, gimme, and then Christmas, what's under the tree for me? What's missing? Thanksgiving. Right? From Halloween to Christmas, no time for Thanksgiving. I wonder how often in our own lives we are very much like the decor of the Walgreens. Right? Missing Thanksgiving in our lives. And we know we're called to be people of gratitude. We are called to give thanks in all circumstances, especially when it seems hard. And so we're in this sermon series here in the month of November with a very short title. The sermon series is just simply, Thank You. And last week, we remembered our saints, the great cloud of witnesses, and we said, Thank you, God, for our family and for our friends who have shaped us so much. We gave thanks for these true inheritances or the lasting legacies that are left behind that have nothing to do with dollars and cents or property, things that are far more valuable. And I encouraged us to think about what kind of true and living legacies and inheritances we might be able to leave when we are gone. But we gave thanks for those persons in our lives that we've had to say goodbye to. Next week, we're going to thank God for this amazing grace. We're going to hear a little bit about the story, about how that hymn came to be, and we're going to explore just what an awesome gift this is and how much gratitude and thanks we should have. And then on the 24th, when we are gathered together at the 10 o'clock service, just before Easter, we're going to thank God for our abundance. Easter? I'm always thankful for Easter. Thank God for the resurrection and my inheritance. You're listening, right? That was a test of my own senility. All right. So where was it? Thanksgiving. Give thanks for everything. Amen. All right, let's go to our final song. That big old hook, I need that giant hook to get me off the stage. Somebody, Neil, play music. All right, let's just get right to the sentence of truth for today. All right, what I want you to really hear and really remember, and the sentence of truth is simply this. Every person of faith, everyone who has been a recipient of this grace, everyone who seeks to live a life of love because their faith calls them to that, every single man or woman, young or old, married or single, gay or straight, doesn't matter where you're from, what station in life, everyone who is a person of faith is given spiritual gifts. Everyone, no one excluded, even if you can't see it, everyone of faith is given a spiritual gift, and we are called to find ours, to give thanks for them, and to use them. That was a really complicated, long sentence, but everyone has them, and we're called to use them and give thanks for them. And so let's look at what Paul has to say. I have two short little snippets of scripture. One from a letter that Paul wrote to this Christian community of faith in Rome, and another one that he writes to this Christian community in Corinth. And so we begin from Romans, just these 6, 7, and 8 in chapter 12. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. And then we go forward to Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, and I want to pause right there. Brothers and sisters, you know, Paul is accused of being a lot of things, misogynist being one of them, with some of the strong language he has that are so tough for so many to read. But here Paul is acknowledging men and women, young and old, everyone of faith receives these gifts. I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And why are these gifts given, it says? For the common good. To one is given through the Spirit utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by the one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses, to each one for the common good. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And so in this time together, and this sermon is not a heart tug kind of a sermon. It's not an emotional sermon. This is more of a thinking sermon. This is more of a teaching kind of an opportunity for us this day. But I want to answer three questions, and I'm going to spend far more time on the first question than the other two. This is not an equitable distribution of our time together. And so the three questions are simply this. What is a spiritual gift? It's kind of a churchy word, isn't it? What are your spiritual gifts? I don't know. What is a spiritual gift? The second question we're going to look at is, how do I know what my spiritual gifts are? How can I find my spiritual gifts? And then, because we are called to give thanks in all circumstances, the last question is, what is the best way to thank God for the gifts that we have been given? And so let's jump right in. What is a spiritual gift? Unfortunately, there is a great amount of confusion. There is some fuzzy thinking on this topic. Some people believe that a spiritual gift is simply the same thing as a natural ability. And friends, I tell you, it is not. It is not. You know, Green Bay has a great quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. He can throw a tight spiral as far as anyone in the National Football League. What an amazing natural gift. But it's not a spiritual talent. It is not a spiritual gift. Others think that spiritual gifts only refer to people who speak in tongues, and that makes us mainline Methodists very, very nervous, speaking in tongues, doesn't it? What does that even mean? Do we know what it means to speak in tongues? According to this gift, somebody in a time of prayer, in offering up this prayer, suddenly is speaking in a language that they have never heard before. And when I talk to some folks that have spoken in tongues, sometimes they say they don't even realize that they have broken into tongues. But the Bible lets us know that if somebody is speaking in this deep spiritual language, somebody else is going to be given the gift of interpretation. If while Caitlin was up here singing that beautiful song from Godspell, if all of a sudden she stopped singing and started to speak this deep, heavy-seated prayer in some language that she has never heard of herself, somebody here, probably Mrs. Ebert's going to, you'd probably be the one that would, all of a sudden God would give you this gift of interpretation, and you'd both be surprised. There are some very conservative Christians that would say, if you don't speak in tongues, you truly don't have the Holy Spirit. And I say to you, I truly believe I have the Holy Spirit, and I give thanks that the Holy Spirit guides me and shepherds me, but I've never once spoken in tongues. I've been in situations where I've seen people praying in tongues, but I've never spoken in tongues. Has anyone heard anyone speak in tongues before? Have you ever been in a place that you've heard it, you've seen it? Right. At my last church, when we did our new membership class, the last session we gave them a spiritual gifts inventory. and it was a kind of a lengthy one, and there were so many questions about tongues to see if people had the gift of tongues. And this one woman came rushing into my office, and she said, "I don't know if I can join." And she said, "You know, there's all these questions about tongues on here, and I've only been to the 9 o'clock service. I feel like I need to go to the 10:30 service to see if that's where you guys all speak in tongues. Because if you do, I'm not sure I'm going to be comfortable here." And I just smiled and said, "You know, it's a legitimate gift of the Spirit, but it's not a part of our expression here at this church." She was relieved. But because there is so much confusion about spiritual gifts, I think a precise definition is in order. What do I mean when I say spiritual gifts throughout this sermon? And so here is a definition of spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability, God-given, which enables the believer, a person, man or woman, young or old, black or white, doesn't matter, that enables the believer to serve the body of Christ. And we should give thanks for that. It is a God-given gift that enables us, equips us, to be in service for the kingdom of God. And every part of that is important. They are God-given, which means you can't earn it. You can't cultivate it. You simply receive it. The Bible says you receive your spiritual gift. It equips you. It enables you to do something that you didn't or could not do before. It is different than a natural talent. But friends, natural talents can be, I believe, turned into something that has the qualities of a spiritual gift. I did a little exercise with the staff this week, and I asked them, I gave them little pieces of paper, and each paper had a little horizontal line in parentheses. And I said, next to each of these, write down 5 things that you're good at. You don't have to enjoy it, but what are 5 things that you're good at? You can put them in any order, just 5 things that you are good at, 5 gifts that you have. If you don't know what they are, what are other people saying about you, about that? And so then they wrote their 5 down. And I said, okay, now with that horizontal line, that little horizontal line on top, it's going to end up looking like a fraction. On top, go back and look at those 5 things and say, rank them in terms of which do you do the best, 1 through 5. Of these 5 things you said you're good at, which one are you actually best at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, list them. And they did that. I said, okay, now underneath that line, on the bottom part of that fraction, I want you to go ahead and list, of those 5 things, what order of enjoyment is there for you? And rank those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they did that. And so next to all 5 of those things that people are good at, they had 2 numbers. One signifying how good they are at it, and the other one, their level of enjoyment. I said, add those numbers. Whichever one has the lowest score, keep in mind. And so let me just illustrate. So Neil had listed teaching. And he put 1. He believes teaching is, of the things he listed, he believes that's the thing he's actually the best at. But he also put a 1 there because it's what he enjoys doing the most. You know, working with piano students, teaching a choir, a new piece of music, working through those. And so for him, it was teaching. For others, it was something different. And so the exercise is this. Whatever one has the lowest score, ask the question then with this. How can I do this to glorify God? How can I do this for the glory of the kingdom? And if what you have as your lowest score is something you can't figure out how to do it, then go to the next one to turn these natural abilities into something that is close to a spiritual gift. But a spiritual gift is not fruits of the Spirit. It's not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All believers are to manifest those qualities, but they're not spiritual gifts. Many gifts, one Spirit. And there are spiritual gifts such as service, mercy, giving, helping, leadership, faith, discernment, teaching, pastoring, exhortation. There's foundational gifts, healing and apostleship. There's all kinds of gifts. Matter of fact, there's so many gifts. God's still not done creating. There's going to be new and more spiritual gifts that are going to be given for unique situations in certain times and places. And so you ask, does everyone have one? And I say, yes, at least one. Every person of faith has one. And they are given so that we can serve the body of Christ. But there's another blessing to these spiritual gifts. You see, spiritual gifts of those around us are one of the ways that God cares for us, by surrounding us with gifted people. I know people who have the spiritual gift of wisdom and discernment. And what a blessing it is to me that God has put me in the presence of those people so that I can use their wisdom. I can benefit from the way in which they help me discern what God would want me to do. Anyone who has been hurting has had somebody come by that has the spiritual gift of compassion or mercy. It is one of the ways that God ministers to people through you and I, through our spiritual gifts. So that's what a spiritual gift is. Are we clear on what I mean by spiritual gift? So the second question very quickly was, how do I find my gifts? The Bible says, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be opened. We need to go out and try and find our spiritual gifts. You know, this week I did a handful of spiritual gifts online. Some of them had hundreds of questions. But on your food for thought, on your joy notes, there is a link to a spiritual gifts inventory on our United Methodist page, and it's only 21 questions. And the three gifts that it revealed for me were the same three gifts that no matter which spiritual gift inventory I did listed. It was teaching, it was exhortation, and it was mercy. Those three just kept coming up, sometimes in different orders. Exhortation, teaching, mercy, mercy, teaching, exhortation. And if you do this on the Methodist page, there's descriptors of each of these gifts and how they can be used. And I want you to know that it took me less than 2 minutes to answer those questions. If you want to find your spiritual gifts, look for them. We are blessed with a great library that has books about spiritual gifts. Another way to do it is simply to listen to what others are saying. Do you hear it every time somebody says, you're really good at that? Wow, what a blessing that is to this church, to the community of faith. They may see it before you see it. And so why is it so important for us to find our spiritual gifts? Because they are out there, and God has given them to us, and God intends us to be thankful for them and to use them, which brings us to the final question. I told you it wasn't going to be equitable in the time I spent with these. The final question is simply this: what is the best way to thank God for the gifts we have been given? What is the best way? It's simple. I think I already heard someone say it. Use it. Use them. The gift is given in order to be used. At the next service, we're going to welcome another class of new members. And every one of these new members who's going to stand before this community of faith and take vows of membership have God-given gifts that it is my prayer they will find a place within the life of this community of faith, maybe not inside these walls, hopefully beyond these walls in the name of our living God, that they can use to glorify the kingdom of God. Eleanor Powell once said, what we are is God's gift to us. What we become is our gift to God. Use them. God has given them in order to be used. Thomas A. Kempis said, a wise lover values not so much the gift of the lover, but the love of the giver. And I think we all know what it feels like when someone doesn't use the gift we give. Right? We spend time trying to find the right gift, and we give it, and it hurts us a little bit if they never use it or they put it away. You know, sometimes we use gifts because the person that gave it to us is someone that's so important to us. That's why so many fathers walk around with really weird ties, because they have a child that gives them a tie. My daughter, who's going to be 21 in February, has on four different occasions, which is a pretty big proportion of the amount of gifts she has given me on her own money that she has picked out, four times she's given me a tie. And she always wants to know, have you worn this tie? Or when she was still living at home on a Saturday night, she'd go into my closet and say, I think this tie looks good with this shirt, Daddy. Why don't you wear that? It feels good to see a gift that you have given being utilized, being given. But some people just don't use the gifts they have been given for a variety of reasons. Maybe we deem them to be too precious. We don't want to use them. I mentioned that this was not an emotional sermon, but yesterday in the chapel, one of the members sitting right in the second row started to get emotional. And because there was something that I had said that took him back to the household that he grew up in. Like me, he grew up in an intergenerational household. His grandmother was there, and he grew up with Grandma in his house, and Grandma received this incredibly intricate and beautiful garment, just a fine, fine, thin fabric, and she didn't dare wear it, and so she packed it away. And finally, years later, she said, well, I should probably just take this out, and by the time she took it out, it was ruined. It was no good. That gift that she deemed to be so precious that she could never use ended up never being able to be used at all. God gives them so we might use them through gratitude for the gift itself. No, sometimes the real blessing may actually be found inside the gift itself. I heard a story about a young man. He was the youngest child in a family, and every single one of his siblings, when they graduated with their bachelor's degree, their father gave them enough money to buy a new car for them to begin their professional life without having to worry about a car payment and to have a car that was reliable so that they could get to work so that he would never have to worry the father. And this young son, even while he was sitting on the commencement floor, was so excited. He already had been shopping in his mind for the kind of cars that he was going to buy. And at the party after the graduation, his father said, son, it's time for your gift. And he gave him a Bible. And the son was so mad, he did not talk to his father. Went off to college, and their relationship was never the same. He had resentment and bitterness. His siblings had all gotten this car, and he got a Bible. The dad said how important it was to pass on this faith. Well, the father passed away, and the son hadn't spoken to his dad in a couple of years. And you know what it's like, maybe. I pray not to lose someone when there's still unresolved issues. And one of the good news things I would share is I believe relationships can be healed even after one has passed. Well, the mother said, your dad had a favorite passage of scripture. Would you read it at this ceremony? And the kid said, okay. And he didn't throw that Bible away. He just, like many of us, put it on a shelf. And so he took it off and he blew it off and he went to look up the passage to read it once before the ceremony. When he opened up the Bible to that favorite passage, there was a check inside the Bible that was now no longer good. The gift was the Bible, but there was a gift inside the gift. To which Mary Paul said, why didn't the dad just buy the kid a car and put the Bible in the glove compartment? No, it doesn't work this way. I've told the story, my very first paycheck at Stillwater's church, the treasurer hid it in my Bible on my desk. He said, I wanted to see how long it would take you to find it. Just want to make sure you read your Bible. Friends, spiritual gifts are poured out on every single person of faith. They're different than natural abilities, but they are given to us so that we might use them to work for the good of the kingdom of God. We are to give thanks to God for these gifts, and the greatest way to show our thanks is to put them into practice, to use them. The refrain of one of the songs in our hymnal that we're going to sing at the traditional service, the refrain is this: many gifts, one spirit, one love known in many ways. In our difference is blessing. From diversity we praise. One giver, one Lord, one word, known in many ways, hallowing our days. For the giver and the gifts, praise, praise, praise. Thank you, God, for this community of faith and the collected giftedness we have to serve our world. Amen.